Nahum. And yet his name denotes comfort. The day that we grow in the Lord to where we are comforted by his conviction, we're comforted by his correction, that's when we know we're really maturing in the Lord.
Amen.
When I mess up, which is very, very, very rare, he just convicted me of that. I'm glad he did. I don't want to get in trouble with God here. I'm sensitive. When we start talking about health, for instance, I took my blood pressure last night, and my wife is on two kinds of, I'm not lording this over, I'm just telling her, and telling people that faith does work and God does bless, and grace is real. And whatever I am and whatever I experience, it's not just because of my great faith, but because of his great grace.
Amen.
Can I say that? This was not my great faith. Don't misinterpret. Oh, Brother Venable has great faith. Well, I have great grace given me in the Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul, who had such great faith, he was based on God's great grace. Amen. It was his faith in that grace.
Amen.
He actually declared, whatever I am by the grace of God. Amen. By grace you're saved. Through faith. Faith in what? That grace and what it's provided for you and me. And that is a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 says the Lord. Now here, are you ready for this? The Lord is good. Say it with me, the Lord is good. It's what keeps us. It's knowing something about not just his power, but knowing something about his person, his character, his unchanging character. The Lord is good. In fact, the Bible says it in the Old Covenant, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Because the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. And it was the hope that Jeremiah had when he saw Israel go back on God and worship false gods and get in trouble with God and receive correction from God. And the correction was that they were defeated by their enemies. They went down into Egypt as slaves, or been to Babylon rather, as slaves. And he saw it happening, and it crushed him when he saw it happening. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I see Christians that once were strong in the faith, losing that faith, Christians that once followed Christ closely, beginning to ebb away from him, not just turn their back on him, but inch by inch, little by little, fall away from him. It crushes my heart. Unless I believed in the goodness of God in spite of that, and God's commitment to his children. Amen. I not only am concerned deeply, I want to use the word concern instead of worry. I can't carry that. I have to give them and that to the Lord. But I know that he cares deeply about people that are falling away from him. He's not angry at them. He's disappointed in them. There's a big difference in being deeply disappointed and angry enough to want to hurt. He doesn't want to hurt. He wants to heal. And I want to live long enough, and I got to get on it. I want to see God move. I want to see it happen before I go to heaven. I want to see backsliders coming home. People that are away from God coming home. Now, there's a lot of bad news about the church and doctrines in the church and the churches that are failing. 1,500 pastors will leave the ministry, go back into not into some church-related missionary thing, will go back into secular work. 1,500 per month this year. Happened last year, it's going to happen next year, and the numbers are on the rise. They're not coming down, they're going up. Several thousand churches will close their doors and lock them. Without you folk right now, the Holy Church of God would be dissolved. It would be no longer a ministry with a name and a pastor still preaching and a webmaster that's putting it up online to see what God will do with it. If you ever come to our website, we have an internet pastor here. And I feel for him. Do you know why I feel for him? Because the devil fights me because of the Word of God that I bring forth. And he's relentless. It's never let up. If he ever lets up on me, I need to find a place to pray and ask for the fire of God back in my heart and life. I'm fully committed to the inerrant, eternal Word of the living God. And the devil fears that because it's called biblically in the spiritual realm the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
We've been on the defensive with the shield of faith, absorbing all the attacks of the enemy. But the sword is not a defensive weapon in the sense of just shielding you from it. But his sword is something you can actually use against him.
Amen.
When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted three scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy. It is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't use his divinity, his divine authority. He used what every one of us have within our reach and grasp today. He used the authority of God's eternal word.
Amen.
And it wasn't even new covenant stuff. If you want to separate the covenant, say, well, that was old covenant. That doesn't. Yes, it does. It's the word of God. And when it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me and worship me only, it is written.
Yeah.
And once it is in holy writ, it has the same authority as if God stood and spoke it through a megaphone to us.
Amen.
That's why the Bible is under attack. It's
Come
not
on,
just
brother.
People want to kill it, tear it up, burn it, dismantle it, and destroy it. Well, dismantle it. They want to come out with other Bibles, interpretations that do not line up with the original. And little by little, take us away from the original. Amen.
Yeah.
So you got to even watch what Bible you read.
Amen.
Because Bible companies that manufacture these things are for profit.
Yeah.
It's what sells. It's what makes money. Kind of like trends in clothing. When I first got saved, we had a double knit stuff. Flared pants, not bell bottoms, but flared at the bottom. We had ties that were that wide.
Yeah.
Remember the big wide ties?
Yeah.
We had leisure suits that you could actually wear to preach in. Yeah, they're gone now. But the trends change, and they like it. Because if you follow the trends, you go to your closet and say, that's not trending. You take that stuff out. And you put in the stuff and start putting on the stuff that is trending.
Yeah.
But you're in a church today that does not follow. I do not lead it to follow. You can choose what you want to, but I'm going to lead you to not follow trends, but to follow truth.
Amen.
Something is happening even in the churches that are following the trends. People are going to them en masse, but they're coming out with a hollowness inside.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Traditional churches that drew all traditional people, that's not trending anymore. Amen. There's something happening, and it's a good thing that some churches are not prospering. Amen. If we're following that doesn't lead people to Christ as their Savior, where they can be sealed by the Holy Spirit and kept from the wrath to come. That church does not need to exist any longer. Because people get a false sense of security. You don't need someone telling you you're all right when you're all wrong. Nahum told people when they were wrong. But his name represented a comforter. He said, God is good. He's good. Never forget that. Even his chastisement is because he's good.
Yeah.
I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
And it's His unchanging character of purity, holiness, and love. And love.
Amen.
God set His love on His covenant people.
Yes.
He didn't love them emotionally like we love out of emotion. He loved them out of a deep devotion based on a covenant He made with Abraham.
Amen, brother.
He said, I didn't love you because you were greater in number.
Come on.
You were one of the smallest group of people on the planet. Israel itself, the only piece of land in the world that He created that He called my land. And He defined it with perimeters of that land.
Amen, brother.
And right now that land is contested. The most contested piece of terra firma earth is Jerusalem and Israel. About the size of New Jersey. And yet, everything that's happening in our world right now, there's a centerpiece to prophecy, and you can see it rising right now. It's all about Israel and her relation with those that are around her. And there's a war that's going to come. It's found in the book of Ezekiel. It's a war where many nations will ally together with one purpose, and that is to destroy the nation of Israel and take a spoil from their land. And you see it all forming. The ally aligning nations that will be involved in this are forming as we sit here this morning. We're in the last of the last days. But the Lord is good.
Amen.
And His mercy endures forever. Just that revelation of God about how good He is, and because He's good, He's merciful, that can set confusion in the devil's ranks if we know it and declare it and live it. Praise God.
Amen.
When there's a battle to be fought, what does God do? When the king comes out and said, look at here, there's three, or four, I think it was three allied armies that are coming up against Israel together in the old covenant. And they are set on one thing, destroying them.
Yeah.
And they look at their army, and they're in no way. The devil comes in like a flood. Did it say when the enemy comes in like a flood? He's not going to come tentatively and timidly. He's going to come with everything he's got and try to overwhelm you.
Amen.
But when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
And the standard that he's speaking of, figuratively and spiritually, is Christ himself.
Amen.
A little further down in that same chapter of Isaiah, it says, a redeemer shall come to Zion. Satan wants to destroy you, but a redeemer is coming. And that redeemer will defend you. And it'll be a spiritual defense that you have.
Amen.
It won't just be physical. Supernatural things are going to occur to keep that nation.
Amen.
And right now, that nation is being isolated politically.
Yeah.
Even, you know, trying to get a ceasefire. All this is still, the hatred for that particular nation is so intense and so strong. They want to completely kill the former leader of Iran that we're dealing with right now, his successors. He was on record as saying, I'm glad that so many Jews have come back from so many nations to Israel. I'm glad they have come back. Now we can kill them all. When they're all in one place, we will not have to hunt them down and destroy them. If they had gained a nuclear weapon, they would have used it as soon as they could against the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Now,
absolutely.
Pray for our president.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll lighten things up just a little bit. Politics is something I don't usually get into, but I heard this about a far-left politician. Happened to be a lady. Happened to be something AOC. Something Cortez, she's a far left Democrat. You may be a Republican Democrat. If you're a Democrat, we're praying for you anyway. Not to get political, but to get right with God. Because if you get right with God, your politics will line up.
Right.
Can I have a fist bump on that? You follow it. Amen. But this is what it was said. So this particular politician was supposed to be asked, where do we go in the space race from here? Are we going back to the moon? And she replies, no, we've already been to the moon. We're going to the sun next. So they asked her, well, how are we going to land on the sun? You would burn up before you got there. She said, well, we're going at night. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Just hang with me. The Lord is good.
Amen.
She didn't really say that. I mean, that's even for her, that would be. Amen. I don't think, anyway. Senator Kennedy, he said she's the reason they put directions on shampoo bombing. It's going to be okay. Just going to be all right. You know why I have joy this morning? Well, I'm bringing a serious message. Because the joy of the Lord is what strengthens me to bring this message.
Amen.
If I ever lose it, I'll come under the burden and the heaviness that is covering this whole earth.
Come on.
But what a day to tell people the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And His mercy endures forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why the king said, we have no might. And we have no power physically, materially, to go out and face this unified army that's set for our destruction.
Yeah.
But our eyes are on Thee.
Yeah.
Can you say
amen?
What a confession. Instead of, I've got it together, we've got it. No, we have nothing without You. And our eyes are on You. And You are our only hope. But You are the most wonderful hope anyone could ever have.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our eyes are on You. You know what God wants? He doesn't want you to be strong in yourself.
Right.
He's strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And in the power of His might.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I came here today as weak as water. I tried to get some rest yesterday. The dog wanted to go outside. I started to get some rest Saturday and found out we had an appointment for the dog at the vet. And I said, when do I rest? We got to be at the vet at this time. And my wife told me, said, you know how filthy and stinky he is. I'd be so embarrassed. So I said, okay, I take him outside. He's 90 pounds. He's a Burmese Shepherd mix. He's a big boy. He's strong.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. If my car breaks down, I don't call a wrecker. I just call him. Come on. Anyway, no, he's not that. He's strong.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
But I took him outside, and I held him with one hand while he's pulling, and I squirt him down. It was a hot day, and after a while when I was squirting him down, he just like, he relaxed and said, you know, this ain't half bad. I'm not into baths, but this ain't bad. And I'm squirting him down. Of course, I'm getting wet, and that's okay, too. And then I turn loose the leash, take a five-gallon bucket of already pre-mixed sudsy water, and I pour it on his back, and then I begin to rub him all over. Yeah, even there. And all over. Yes, you do. When you bathe the dog like this that's got long hair, there are things that happen back there that you've got to clean up, because they're going to look back there and all of that stuff. And I finally got him cleaned, and then I got me changed, and then I know that he's been abused. He reacts bad to other animals, and I know he's going to have to be muzzled. And I said, Lord, I am so tired. And now we're going through this ordeal with him. Lord, would you just help me with him today? And I said, it's not for his sake, it's for my sake. Pamela will be fine. She's just sitting over there in the passenger side or sitting in the back seat with the dog. But when we get there, because normally it's an ordeal, So when we get there, lady comes out and says, "Follow me." And I take him by the leash. And you know, she said, "Oh, don't forget to put the muzzle on him." So I put the muzzle on him and I tie it tight. And we're going to where we're supposed to be. And they take us into this room outside so we don't see other animals because he can't stand it. A pit bull almost killed him while he was being, you know, taken care of before we got him. He almost died, almost bled out. So he's got all kinds of psychological problems. And I said, "Lord, just would you just help us today?" And when we got back there, now I'm not going to say an angel came, but God did something supernatural. Because we got back there where he normally is hard to handle, and they were prepared. They wanted him muzzled, they wanted him isolated from other animals, they wanted, and this lady come in, she was kind of nervous, going to take his blood and give him shots, and I thought, "Yeah, you'll be the first to get it." I won't be able to hold him back. They already had a record on him, and they were fearful. And he laid down like a puppy. He laid down like a puppy. He looked up at me, and then he laid right down like a puppy. And it's like he was about to go to sleep while they were taking his blood, giving him shots. And, oh, Lord, they trimmed his toenail before you touch him. He laid there like a baby and just let him clip his toenail. Now, this is my imagination, but it could happen. God could have sent an angel.
Yeah.
And put his hand on. Listen, God sent an angel to a lion's den that were going to eat Daniel alive.
Yeah.
But God sent an angel.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And if he could tame a hungry lion, several of them, from eating Daniel, the Bible said he shut to the mouth of the lion.
Right.
He didn't even take away the fierceness of and the viciousness. He just put a Holy Ghost muzzle on.
Amen.
Can you imagine him? Can you imagine him? Wanting to bite him so bad they can't stand it and they can't open their mouth. Amen. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Sniffing, sniffing, sniffing. Mm, mm, mm,
yeah.
Mm, mm. Until they couldn't no more. And all night long, Daniel standing there. Because God sent an angel.
Yeah.
Now in my imagination, I'm going to go ahead and use my Holy Ghost imagination based on what he did for Daniel in the lion's den. He did for me in the back room with the dog.
Yeah.
That old dog laid down. I've never seen him at a vet lay down like that. He's stubborn. He's strong. He's got psychological problems. And yet he just, and my wife couldn't get over it. She just said, "I can't get over it. I can't get over it." I said, "Well, let's don't get over it. Let's just give God the glory for it." Amen. Hallelujah. When you pray and it happens, don't try to just, you know, find some other reason for it.
Right, amen.
No, he, and then when it was over, he was his old self. I said, "Well, send the angel back." Send the angel back. Amen. But the Lord is good.
Amen.
He corrects us. Nahum means a comforter.
Yeah.
In his correction, he's still good.
Yeah.
Don't ever doubt his goodness, even as a child of God. The Bible said when you're chastened of him, it's never pleasant.
Yeah.
Never. Has anybody ever got a whipping and said, "Wow, that was so nice"? No, 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 no. It's never pleasant. Did anybody ever get a whipping? I'm not just talking about that. No, you couldn't whip him. Lord have mercy. Oh, you you didn't use corporal punishment. You just spanked him.
He was a good boy. I don't, did I have to spank you ever?
Oh,
That was more my brother.
You blamed it on your brother? Oh, okay.
I was the good kid.
You were the good one. Okay. Yeah, I see the halo. I see. No chastening for the present seemeth good. But the Lord chastens every son that he loves. That he loves. God is still good when he was correcting Israel. Because he knew they will be destroyed. They're going, yes, this is going to be so unpleasant. This is going to be really bad. Enemies are going to enslave you. But ultimately, your expected end should be, if you will come back to me, I'm going to come back to you. And you know what's going to happen? When you come back and I come back to you to keep that covenant I made with Abraham concerning you, I'm going to bring you back into your land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. Praise God. And no enemy is going to be able to defeat you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
But the correction came to bring the conviction, to bring them back to God so he could do that for them. So even in the correction, God had good in mind. I know my thoughts toward you. Don't let no one misconstrue my corrective judgment as my hatred. I'm angry. I'm taking it out on you. No. It's his goodness.
Yes, amen.
The goodness of God
yeah.
leads men to repentance.
Hallelujah.
And it's not just because he's so good we just want to serve him with all of our heart. It's just he's so good he will interrupt our rebellious way we're living with some incident to get our attention to bring us back to him.
Amen.
Amen.
But he's still good.
Amen.
We need to get that solidified as a foundation for our faith when we go through things instead of being kept from them.
Yeah.
If you've got a lot of pride and self-sufficiency, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Something will happen in your life to get help you deal with that stubborn, proud attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Because it separates you from God and his goodness.
Amen.
Something's going to occur to humble you.
Amen.
I would rather humble myself than to have God humble me.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
This is like when my dad told me, he said, go cut me a limb. I said, you. A limb? We do not need a limb. I thought, you got to be kidding. You're going to whoop me with a limb off a tree? No, he didn't mean that. He meant a switch. I knew what he meant. But I also knew that there are switches and there are switches. And if I'm the one, why send me to get the switch? You ought to know what I'm going to do. Amen. I go get that little thing that I know. He might get one across the back of my legs, and then it's going to break. But you know what my dad did when it broke? He went and got the switch himself. He said, wait right here. Now, that's my dad. Now, listen, you know my dad. He's the sweetest, easiest going fella that ever was. But he was my dad. And when I disobeyed him and was rebellious to him, he spanked me. He didn't read. He read this book, went to church a lot. And it says, he that loveth his child chasteneth him betimes.
Yeah.
Means more than once.
Yeah.
My dad was a believer.
Yeah.
Amen. It doesn't mean to hurt, harm, abuse. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't give them a reason to justifiably be angry at you. I was never mad at dad because I deserved it.
Yeah.
I deserved it. I remember the day that he showed me mercy, that I expected a whipping and got mercy. What a day that was.
Yeah.
Brother Gerald wrote a whole poem about it for a pastor's appreciation. And it was about Big Patricia. And that was my cousin that was bigger than the rest of us because girls generally outgrow guys first and mature. She could hit a ball further. Everybody wanted her on the team. Forget feminism and this male ego thing. This was not about that. This is about who can hit that ball that far and who could beat you up if she wanted to. Because I've got a picture of me someday, we bring it standing beside Big Patricia. She's up here and I'm here. It's almost like standing by Jimmy. She lived with her grandma. They had chickens and a rooster to help the chickens lay eggs. They help a lot. Anyway, had them in a pen. I decided, because that rooster ever come, I came up near that pen. That rooster would come over and rear up, and I thought, I'm going to come in there. You ain't going to rear up at me. And I opened the door, and that thing reared up at me. And I found out those feet, you know when it says, what's it say? Chicken feet. What do we eat out there that sounds like chicken feet? You don't know? There's something out there. Chicken wings. Buffalo wings. I didn't know buffaloes had wings. Anyway, it's just, you know, it's chicken. It's what it is. I didn't know you had spurs on those.
Yes, spurs.
And they're long. And he come and reared up at me, and I went to kick, and he got me first and brought blood out of my leg like that cat, that your sweet cat that jumped on you. What was that cat's name? Beelzebub?
No.
I'm just saying.
That was so long.
She don't know his name. She said, gave her amnesia after that. Scratch your eyeball?
Oh, Baba, yeah.
Okay. And why did he do that?
He got scared. He got nervous about something. And I was trying to throw him off the bed and his back leg up. Dad, I called Sherry.
That rooster, he brought the blood. The raccoon attacked you?
Yeah, that's
oh
it.
My
God. We got a veteran of many attacks here today. You walking your dog or walking?
No, but it's funny you said that because one year at night I was walking my dog and a coyote was coming up. And I knew that the angel of the Lord was there because it kept looking up like it was scared of something. I thought, oh, Lord, we're done now. He's dead.
Did he bite you, hurt you,
stretch
you? No,
he just kept looking up like
close.
That.
Yeah.
And he just kept walking, and I knew the Lord had his
right. Well, I got scratched, and I had blood on my calf. And I decided I'm not going to show that rooster. That rooster is showing me. And I was about 9 years old. And I took off running, left the gate open to the chicken pen with about 25 chickens, and I took off running. And every time I look back, that rooster right out.
You get those old chickens.
And I got home, and Dad asked me what happened. I said, "Oh, rooster attacked me. What were you doing in there?" Well, I just wanted to see him. And no, I was going in there to show that rooster. I wasn't going to do that at me. And the rooster showed me. And then it hit me. Patty was a great friend. She's a great cousin. She would defend me because I was smaller. As long as I didn't have a big brother. Did you? Big brother. I had big brother over here, big spiritual brother right back here. I didn't have a big brother, but I had a big cousin. Everybody say, Big Patricia, she's redheaded. I don't know what that has to do with it, but she was redheaded. She was freckle-faced, and she was strong. But there's something else she was. She was a tattletale. She loved to tell on people, and she had a tale to tell. Because I let those chickens out. Not purposely and not out of meanness, but running from a rooster. I wasn't going back to try to catch them and put them in. That rooster's back there. I have antagonized him. He hates me. And I knew what was coming. And I knew who was coming. She's coming. Dad gets home at 5 o'clock, and I watch that clock sweating bullets. Dad is going to find out what I did, and we're going to get a real whipping today. Real switch. And I've already been punished by the rooster. And so I thought, here's my option. There's a spiritual reason as we're having some good fun here today. I can tell on myself and take my punishment and not have to endure her telling on me and watching me get punished. And I'd rather tell on myself. As much as I wish I didn't have to face it and take it, I'd rather tell on myself. Now, there's a scripture. Don't think I'm going too far from the scripture. There's a scripture said that if we would judge ourselves, if we would see what is wrong within us and confess it before God and ask Him to forgive us and help us with it, then we would not be judged by Him. Amen. But if we will try to cover and conceal it, what did it say about covering up sin? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You can build your faith to mountain peaks and believe God for so many things, but you will not have God's favor and blessing with concealed sin. David said, when I held my peace, when I didn't face it and confess it, my bones waxed old with roaring. He was a king at this time. He could have had anything he wanted, but he couldn't enjoy anything he had. All of that roaring was within him. He said, my moisture is turned to drought.
Yeah.
And then he said, don't be like I was initially. Don't be like the ox. This is Psalm 32, by the way. Don't be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned about by the bit and bridle, by the pressure and pain. Come before God. Yeah. Get real with God. Yeah. Get right with God. Yeah. Because in the midst of His correction, it's for our good and His glory. Can you say amen? Amen. Return to me, I'll return to you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. When you have God for you, amen, there's nothing like it. Amen. It gives you hope where there seems to be no hope. Yes. And I want God on my side. How about you today?
Amen.
Because if God be for us, He puts out a challenge. Amen. Who can be against us?
Amen.
Glory to the Lord.
Amen.
So my dad got home. It's 5 o'clock. I ran out to meet him. I said, Dad, I did something bad today. I went over there messing around with that rooster. He'd come after me. I showed him my leg. He chased me. I left the door open. The chickens got out. And he walked with me. He's listening to it all. And I thought, he's pondering my punishment. what do I do with him for this? And this is Aunt Dora, we called her. I don't know where she was in the family tree. A lot of things in the family tree. And shaking, a lot of nuts would fall out. Anyway, we were not alone. Family tree was weird. But she was a good woman. But she was a hard woman. And she wouldn't be hard. You know, she didn't like things like I just did. So I told my dad. We went on in the house. Screen door, sure enough. Here came Big Patricia, and she was in a trot. She couldn't wait to tell my daddy what I had done.
Yeah.
And my dad knew her, too. And he said, Bobby, you ever going to do that again? I said, no, sir, no, sir. He used to ask me that while giving me an actual whipping.
Yeah.
Are you going to do this anymore? I started saying no before he started. No. Are you ever going to do this again? No. 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 Amen. But he knew the situation, and he believed that I wasn't doing this out of meanness, that I made a bad decision. He showed me mercy. He forgave me. And Big Patricia came in and said, she looked at me, she looked at him and said, Bob, do you know what Bobby did today? He said, yes, and we've already taken care of it. And besides that, I don't like cattle tape. Woo! Hallelujah, amen. It's time to partay, amen. There's a tattletale in the scripture. He's found. Amen. He's got a name called devil. Anybody heard of the devil? He's a tattletale. He's not just a tempter. He's a tattler.
Yeah.
He's the word devil in the Greek means a maligner, an accuser. Yeah. He's always wanted to cut you down, tell on you. And the Bible said he comes into the presence of a holy God just to accuse the children of God. And it says in Revelation 12, now, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the great salvation and forgiveness in Him, because He's such a good God, hallelujah, amen, that has led us to repentance.
Amen.
Now, therefore, is our adversary cast down, that accused them before God relentlessly, day and night. And they overcame him by becoming so pristine and perfect like him. They never needed a Savior. No, you were not that good. You were good, but not that good. Okay, all right. I love you. You're bigger than me, and I really love you. Hallelujah. I'm old on top of that. And brittle. Don't throw me. Don't pile drive me, man. I'd come apart like a puzzle.
Anyway. It always makes you look 6'5". Your knowledge makes you look 6'5".
Whoa! 6'5". Wow!
You know what I'm saying?
Now is the accuser of our brethren, Revelation 12, cast down, that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him. How? The first and most important element in overcoming his accusations is not becoming so perfect there's nothing to accuse us of. It's because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing,
but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole again?
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The we used to sing it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The reason the accuser can't get God to convict us and judge us, hallelujah, is because we've confessed our sins, been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus himself is our high priest who the devil ever lives to accuse us. Jesus ever lives to defend us with his own blood and his own nail-scarred hands and feet and side. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed. Glory to God.
Come on.
With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation and deliverance. Hallelujah. And because of this kind of goodness, this kind of love, this kind of grace, it brought a deep, deep devotion.
Yeah.
And they love not their life,
even unto
the death.
Amen.
If it came to it, they said, I will not deny him who loved me enough to give me this kind of grace.
Yeah.
It's not just because that love is commanded nor demanded. It's because we love him back.
Yeah.
It's reciprocal love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We love him because he first loved us, the scriptures teach.
Yeah.
So if I want to get you deeply devoted to Jesus, I don't just come over and say, do you love him with all your heart, all your gourd, I mean your mind, and all your body, and all your strength, every bit of it, not 99% of it, but all of it. Well, I'm trying to. Well, that's not good enough. But if I say, my God, I loved you enough to give his son, his only begotten son.
Amen.
He took on flesh, left the glories of heaven to hang on an old rugged cross to forgive your sin. I pray something starts happening in your heart that says, I'm going to devote my life to Him that has done so much for me. I'm going to love Him back for loving me like this. And that's what brought the devotion. Because they knew the only way to escape the judgment for what we have done wrong is through the shed blood of Jesus, who suffered and died for us.
Amen.
And they brought a deep devotion to Him. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and their devotion to Him. They loved not their life even unto the death. The devil couldn't threaten them. Praise God, because they loved Him too much to let the devil get control of their life again. That's what every Christian needs, is that deep devotion to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him because we love Him. Because He first loved us. Let's finish with Nahum. Nahum chapter 1 says the Lord is good. And because He's good, He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Every day in this fallen world, last days are more so, but every day in a fallen world is a day of trouble. How many are in this world? You're not. We've got a lot of emphasis on aliens and flying saucers, and are they spirits of demonic spirits with flying saucers? I don't know what they are, Art. I know there's a spiritual realm. There's an unseen realm. I'm going to tell you something. This morning, you're going to have to shut me up. I don't have to have something to get me going. You're going to have to help me stop. You are welcoming the Word of God today. And I'm glad you're welcoming it. Because God wants you to see that when that Word hits you and convicts you of something in me, it's God's goodness and God's love expressed to us. It's not because He's wanting to be mean. He can be disappointed in us, but He's not going to quit us. He's committed to us. If we don't quit Him, He said, I'll never leave you. No, never, 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 never. Amen. To the fifth power. Glory to God. In fact, Israel was in type the wife. We're the bride to be. The bride to be. There's going to be a wedding supper when it's consummated spiritually. Amen. Forever, eternally. But right now, we're the bride to be. And we're to keep ourselves for Him and Him alone.
Amen.
The apostle said, through my gospel of grace that I preached to you, I've espoused you to one husband. Everybody say, a bride to be. That I may present you to God.
A chaste virgin.
A chaste virgin. You can never present yourself to God that way.
Right.
No matter how hard you try.
Come on, brother.
But because of the goodness of God, because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Jesus, because of His sacrifice on the cross, we're going to be presented, amen, a pristine bride for a perfect bridegroom. Hallelujah. Ready to live in a place that we don't deserve, but that God is going to grant us because of His goodness and His grace to us. How many are glad to be forgiven today?
Amen.
How many walked before that spiritual big Patricia tells on you? Get in a service. If you know something's wrong, get it right with God. If something hits you, it's not me, amen, wanting to make you feel bad. It's God saying, I love you too much to just let you go your way.
Amen.
I want you to come back close to me.
Amen.
Where I can keep you safe.
Amen.
Where I can keep you safe.
Amen.
Every time I get into deep repentance over something and get and granted forgiveness and grace, I feel safe and secure.
Amen.
Because I know God is with me and God is for me.
Amen.
And it gives me a boldness. Hallelujah. And it enhances my faith to believe Him. I believe, sure as I'm standing here, that God, I imagine an angel, but I know God calmed my big boy down. They took his blood. They gave him shots. I about passed out, but he was just fine. I don't like blood except Jesus' blood. Amen. We were astounded. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing. Because it means that God is concerned about the little things. And if he's concerned about the little things, when the giant comes, and I've slain the lion, slain the bear, because God is faithful. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Yeah. Then you get bold in the face of the giant.
Amen.
But if you're not slaying lions and bears, and you're letting these little foxes spoil the vine,
Amen.
These little compromises, these little concessions to the flesh, you know what the little foxes did? Big fox come in, eat the grapes off the vine. The vine can bear more grapes. Yeah. The little foxes, they're not there just to eat the grapes. They're little foxes. They just, for fun, start tearing up the vine. So the little things mean a lot.
Yeah.
And it's some of those little things that we don't want to deal with. That God wants us to deal with.
Amen.
Because he cares about the little things. Amen. And there's been some little things that probably you wouldn't feel bad about, but I felt convicted of because I want to stay close to God.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that attitude. You're so quick to forgive. You asked me to forgive something that didn't need forgiving. And I thought, you don't need forgiveness for that. It's okay. It's okay. But she has a tender heart. She wants to walk in close to the Lord. It's called, we used to call it walking softly before the
Hallelujah.
Lord. Walking in that sensitivity, quick to repent, quick to obtain forgiveness because we want to be right with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a good God.
Amen.
He's a stronghold in the day of trouble.
Yeah.
And he knows them.
I could preach on that for two more hours. But I'm merciful. Man of mercy. Oh, you think I could preach on that? Just when you hear the third thing. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7.
Yeah.
The Lord is good, stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that are his. In spite of everything that's going on, how we feel and what we see. Let me give you a New Testament scripture. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, this inscription on the base of it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're not just part of a herd. He knows you. He recognizes you. He accepts you and me in the beloved. Hallelujah. Loves us as the beloved. Got scripture for that. Don't get me started. Don't even question it. Just receive it. You know it's Bible. John 17, read it. You'll find it.
Amen.
Glory to God. At some point, we're going to want to serve him.
Amen.
With all of our heart. Even when we give. He said it's got to come from the heart. It's not about how much you put in a plate or if you don't put anything in a plate. If any man give, and even giving of yourself to God, a living sacrifice, however you give, if any man give, don't do it out of necessity. You've got to do it.
Right.
Don't do it grudgingly. I really don't want to, but I'll be kicked out of the club if I don't pay my dues. Some churches will kick you out. I mean, it's crazy out there. And the Lord says, that's no good. Even if I get it, I don't get it because you don't get it. But if any man give, let him do it willingly. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver in all things. I give myself away to him, not grudgingly. Oh, Lord, I just wanted to go out. I wanted to pump iron and get in a contest and win one contest, but I couldn't wear what you got to wear, so I guess that's out. I told a guy the other day, he was coming into Publix, he looked like he had two watermelons under his arm. You know, he obviously come from the gym and he had some big, and I stopped him and I told him, I said, when you go home, he looked at me, because, you know, old as I am, people take me serious now until they don't. Anyway, I poked his arm, and I said, be careful going home. The popo's out there, and they may stop you for having two big guns in the car. And he was so elated because he has some big guns. I enjoy Jesus. I really enjoy being saved. I enjoy seeing a dog lay down and be still that is not known for it, that has to be muzzled, that has to be separated from other animals, that's given us a nerve problem because we don't know how they're going to do this. We used to take him outside. I would hold him down physically with a bridle on him and a muzzle on him while they came to give him one shot. And he lays down like a baby puppy and just lets him. I said, Lord, you're good.
Amen.
And you're a stronghold. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. In the day of trouble, we can run to you. And you know them that are yours. You recognize we have a covenant with you.
Amen.
We have a promise from you. I know my thoughts toward you. Even when I correct you, even when I chasten you, my thoughts are good and not evil.
Amen.
Not trying to hurt you, not trying to harm you. I'm trying to get you to come close enough that I can put my wings of protection over you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There was an interpretation, simple interpretation to tongues. And you brought the tongues and God gave me the interpretation, just like we did last week or a couple of weeks ago. It was interpretation. And it was so simple. Wonder, well, why bother? Because it's still resonating.
Amen.
Amen. In my heart, God wants to save you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
He sent, came to seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
That was his mission.
Amen.
He paid the price for it to happen on the cross.
Yeah.
God wants to keep you. He wants to seal you with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Can you say amen? To mark
hallelujah.
You as his own.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. Is it all right if you're safe for what's coming when God pours out his wrath during the tribulation? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. There's no sin worth this kind of security. There's no sin worth this kind of peace. There's no sin worth this kind of assurance that we have in Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
So, Lord, whatever it takes, keep me safe from myself, from the devil's tempting power, and from the wrath to come. I need you. I'm not that good. I'm not that great. I'm not that perfect. I need you every hour. And I need your grace.
Amen.
I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I have your love. I don't need your love. I have it. There's no argument now. No matter what I feel, the cross speaks louder. No matter what I feel, the cross speaks louder. I don't need another theological, more theological training into love and the word for love and this and that and the other, the agape and the, you know, I know what I need is to accept the fact that God gave his son. He loved me enough.
Amen.
And Jesus loved me enough to stay on that cross. And I'm going to love him back for that.
Amen.
With all that I have, with my 6 foot four or five.
Five.
6 foot five spiritual stature. Until Jesus comes, I want to stand tall for
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Not in myself.
Amen.
And when somebody says, how with your genetics, when my family tree get together, it looks like we're going to have a bowling match. All like pins, short and stocky. Amen. Your DNA is keeping you. How did you get 6 foot five? Hallelujah. Because my sins are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
And because I have somebody with me that is on my side.
Yeah.
Amen.
And now my big Patricia is defending me, not telling on me. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of death, I will not fear evil.
Amen.
Because he's with me.
Amen.
Every step of the way. Praise God. Will you stand to your feet, brother? We have a closing song. Oh, by the way, that word cheerful, we will bring that. It's hilaru. The Greek word hilaru, is there an English counterpart from that Greek word? It's hilarious. We should be more than happy. Offer your body a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.